you guys over this cold weather yet? We got our AC and stuff refinished in the summer, and I got one of those smart home thermostats, so I can, on the road, I can check the thermostat and stuff, and 54 degrees in the house. I say, all right. I think she wants to play freeze out with me or something. So I got my fireplace going, electric fireplace, and she's just, I got my fan on. All right. Last week we talked about sowing. This week we're going to talk about sowing. The title of my message today, if you want to write that down, I kind of classed it up a little bit as Pour No More. But I really wanted to say Po No More. Tom, can you bring a basket up here, please? Do you have any extra ones? Now, if you can imagine these sitting out here in the hallway, you open up your Bibles to, I believe it's Mark, chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. It says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Can you imagine me sitting here? If everybody were to come up just kind of like communion and just make sure to see how many people we're putting in. Just one guy. You didn't put enough in. She needs to put more in. He sat there. Watched everyone. How uncomfortable would that be? Our Lord and Savior sitting there watching how much we put in. He says, many rich people put in large amounts. Jesus sat there. Watching. There was no shame in his game. The collection box was in the outer courts. In the outer courts of the temple, the women weren't allowed inside the courts, so they had all the collection boxes outwardly. So just, it could be, this is the inner courts, and everyone, he's sitting there watching everybody bringing up their money, their offerings. Then a poor little widow comes in and drops two small coins. Just two of them. Two copper coins. And these coins in the Greek is called lepta, or a quadrant. And just like our penny, smallest coin is copper. And he's sitting there watching. He's sitting there watching them. This widow, all alone. No, there's no husband, obviously. No children around her. This is all she had to give. Just two small copper coins. The courage it must have took for her to come up. She could have been embarrassed. Everyone else is giving great sums, and this is all she has. This wasn't just her tithe, or this was the middle and the end, because this is all she had. And Jesus called his disciples. He called his disciples and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. Hey, y'all come check this out. Look at how much she gave. She may not have heard that. Who knows if she heard it or not? But she came up and put that in the collection box as he sat there. And he's like, hey, you guys come and check this out. Come and check this out. You can probably hear some of the haters. Well, she's just doing all that just to get attention. I gave more, and she only gave two mites. Why does she think she's special? Because Jesus is talking about her? It wasn't about that with her. And it wasn't about that with Jesus. But I was cheerful when I gave. Well, you're not cheerful after, because you're still trying to jack up what some woman had done. It was 100% of what she gave. Others were given out of their wealth, and it was a small percentage of what they had. In this scripture, it says here, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Jesus made a comparison there. I know we say, don't compare. I've said it. We shouldn't be comparing, but Jesus made a comparison. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. See, comparing is to examine the character qualities, of, especially in order to discover resemblances or differences. He makes this comparison between a widow and those who gave out of the surplus. Sometimes you may not be thinking what you're giving is enough. You may have given a dollar to someone, all that you had, but that was all that you had. God seen the heart behind it. That was all that you had. This is all I have on me. I don't carry a lot of cash on me. My wife does, which is why I like rolling with her. I'll use my debit all the time. She always has cash. I rarely ever have cash unless somebody gave it to me. I don't ever cash out hardly. I just use my debit. I can keep track of it. Because then I'm like, okay, who did I give that money to? Where did this go? Because I'll give it away. Honestly, either I'll buy something or like a drink, you know, Pepsi or something. But I'll give it away. It doesn't stay long in my hands. Jesus was not concerned with the amount. It was the percentage of what she gave. There is no doubt that she was blessed because of the principles that we all live by. You reap what you. Jesus said they gave a tiny part of their surplus. In Mark 12:44, the Amplified Version says, for they all threw in out of their abundance, but she out of her deep poverty has put everything that she had, even all that she had to live, in which to live. She wasn't saving anything for herself afterwards. She truly was all in for God. She didn't even know where she was going to get her next meal from. What does she have left to pay the creditors, if there were any? See, today I want to address a long time myth that has been in the Bible, in the body of Christ and people surrounding the body of Christ, what have you. When you hear people talk about people giving and giving and giving and giving, well, I know so-and-so. They gave so much to the church over all the years and they ended up broke. That is a myth. That is an urban legend. It doesn't happen in the kingdom because you reap what you. Well, Sister so-and-so gave, you know, for 30 years and doesn't have anything to show for. That's not kingdom-minded. His word says you will reap what you sow. That is furthest from the truth. You cannot go broke giving into the kingdom. You can't. That's a law. You cannot go broke. It's impossible for you to go broke. Impossible for you to go broke sowing into God's kingdom. Impossible. If you're hesitant, I'm letting you know it is impossible. Through Scripture, I'm going to show you. Through Scripture, it is impossible to go broke sowing into the kingdom of God. They didn't have any money to live on. It's impossible to go broke. The church never helped them, and they took care of them. I said, you know, I'm not trying to nitpick on people or what have you. The only way you go broke is through poor money management. We're not managing our money correctly. If our bills are right here, but our money stops short of that, now we're living outside our means. Either so we're going to have to trust and believe God for more to pay off that debt or get another job or believe for help in this. Because then after the fact, we don't have anything to give. So if you just give to God first, he says he will multiply. He will make room for this. So your money may stop short here, okay? But here's the thing. If it stops short, what I've learned from Dave Ramsey, hey, I wanted to pay you this year, this week, this month. But we didn't have enough. Hopefully we can get you next month. Don't stress out about that. If this is where your money stops, that's where it is. But when you start living outside your means, you're going to go broke pretty quick. You want to play scratch offs all day long? Go ahead. You can't blame the church. Lotto going up to $1 billion. You want to buy 1,000 tickets and that was for rent? You can't blame the church. You want to hit the riverfront and go to the casino and all that other stuff. It's like, hey, man, I was up $20,000 and I'm down. I mortgaged my house. That wasn't God. That wasn't the church. That was poor management. You cannot go broke sowing into the kingdom of God. But the key word is, you have to sow. You have to sow. You can trust God to open up doors for you on your job, or you can get another one, but if it's difficult for you to trust him when it comes to giving, it probably will be even more difficult to trust him in a new for a new position. God's word works if we apply what it says. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says this. This is so cool because the thing about it is, how many farmers we have in here? I know William's a farmer, Randy's a farmer. Was there ever a time you guys sowed seed and you didn't reap? Like sowed seed in the ground and you didn't reap? I'm not saying that the crop was all jacked up. You saying yes? There has been a time? Keep sowing. Keep sowing. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will do what? Will get a crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Farmers sow to get. Yeah, just said it. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or be hesitant about it or in response to pressure. No one should be pressuring you. Those are the only two times you don't give. If you're hesitant to do it, well, don't give. If you're being pressured by anyone, Brandon does a good job. He doesn't pressure me. He doesn't pressure anyone in here. He gives you the opportunity to give. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. He loves it. He loves it. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with who? Others. And the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. Now, Paul is wanting the Corinthian church to give to the saints of Jerusalem because they were poor. But he's ensuring them, guess what? When you give, there will be seed coming right back to you. God is going to multiply what you give when you do give to help other people. It will happen. This is a law. This is a principle that we all live by when we give. I choose to believe God's word over anything else. And when you do that, everything else just seems to come easy. What does it say in his word? Okay, if that's what it says, let's roll with it. But if you're just going to wrestle back and forth, you're going to struggle a little bit. You're going to struggle. You cannot go broke being a giver. But they could be giving too much. I have never gone broke being a giver. I know what it's like to be broke. I know what it's like to be poor. Couldn't afford the OR. There's a commercial way back, and I was trying to look for it so I can put it on or what have you, but I was trying to look for it. I still couldn't find it, but I remember this old couple coming over, and they were like, you know, probably living in Florida or what have you. And then they would invite their friends over, and their friends would, hey, have a seat, sit on the couch, and they'd just be patting their shoulders and stuff, and yeah, it's good to see you. And then they send them on their way, and then check the couch cushions, how much they get. Money falling out of their pocket and stuff. We were there. I was searching the couch cushions just to feed my kids. And I remember saying, this ain't ever going to happen again. And guess what? During that season, were we sowing? I don't think so. We were? Well, that messes up my testimony. That's what she was. I wasn't at the time. I wasn't on board. But I do remember saying at first, this isn't going to ever happen again. So whenever I have an opportunity to sow, I sow. And I do it wholeheartedly. People may say, well, he's doing this just to do this, just to get attention, just to be nice. I said, well, why are you spending so much time trying to make me look bad? Mind your business. I'm giving because I want to be a giver. I'm giving. I'm trying to be a channel for God to help. If he gives me more, then I have more to give. And I've never ran out, ever. But I ran out when I wasn't sowing. When I had to call my mom up and ask for $25, when I was married, I wasn't giving. Zero times zero is what? God can't multiply it. Zero times zero will always be zero. Always be. If you sow sparingly, he says, you will reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. From Scripture, that means we do sow to get. And some people, I think Buddy Harrison has said, some people may work to live, but we need to work to give. We want to be a giving. We want to be a blessing to other people. When farmers sow a small seed, they will get a small crop. Farmers sow a generous seed, they will get a generous crop. It's not rocket science. It really isn't. How much do we want to get back? You know, if it's in increments of this or what have you, this small pumpkin right here. And when they give, I said, you know, I'm going to reap a harvest of pumpkins this size right here, pretty much. And I mean, because the Bible does say give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour into your bosom. I understand that's talking about judgment at the time, but that's still the same principles of giving anything that you do. But you know what? If I want to reap a harvest like this, I'm going to give it. And I'm going to give it generously. I'm going to give it wholeheartedly. and what's going to come back to me? Pumpkins, this size right here. And you can even think about, you know, increments of money. I mean, it could be financially. Couple bucks here. That could be $50, $60 there. We got a big one over here that could be $100 or what have you, in your hundreds. And then you can have the big old ones that people put in the big old contests and stuff like that. I mean, carrying on a wheelbarrow. If you want to bring it in, God is going to use that same measurement and measure it right back to you. Those who sow generously will reap generously. He wants you to be a generous giver. So you continue to bless those people. He didn't leave all this stuff here for the evil people, for Satan. He left it for you. I believe it's in Genesis 2:11. All the diamonds and the crystals and all that stuff that's in the earth, God didn't leave that for Satan. That's for the church. That's for the body of Christ. Why? Because you're going to have to do something with it in order to help other people. You can't continue to rely on the government to take care of the poor, to help others. They've been trying to do it. They throw trillions of dollars at it. Still ain't working. There's some principles that are flawed because we keep giving money when people aren't working. You can liken it to sports. If you don't practice, you shouldn't be playing. You want to eat come game time, but you don't want to put in the work come practice time. If you don't work, you don't play. If you don't work, we don't eat. You can never go broke giving to the church because God is the one who will give seed to the sower. He's the one. It isn't other people. He said, I will give seed to the sower. Yeah, but what if the church has poor leadership? What is this pastor is doing this? What if that? I said, listen, they were going into the temple where these religious leaders were, where they were trying to constantly plot against Jesus. It didn't matter. Once you release that, it don't matter where you're going. Once you release that and give that to God, it's in the kingdom. They could be as corrupt as I don't know what. It's in the kingdom. I believe they took some of that money out of the temple treasury just to pay Judas. They didn't want to put it back in. He stood by that collection box. I'm going to do that one time. Pass the offering bucket. Okay, let me see. Just stand right here. All right. Hold on. Let me make sure the ushers are given. Once you release it out of your hands, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. The harvest is coming just as soon as you released it. The church, man, all they ever do is try to take my money. We don't say, Brandon doesn't say, we're getting ready to take offerings. We're getting ready to receive. That means you have to give it away. That means you have to bring it. We don't take the money. We receive it. We receive it. Give and you shall. Come on. When you give people, when you give, people will know that they're truly obedient to God. When you give, other people will know that you are truly obedient to God. And they will thank you. They will thank God, and they will thank you. They'll even pray for you. They'll even pray for your family. You know, because if you're continually being a blessing, they don't want nothing to happen to you. They don't want nothing to go wrong. Man, this person is a sower. We need to help them out. Is there anything that I can do for you? When you're giving, you will have some supernatural favor on your life. You have people praying for you. And God is entrusting you with more riches, more responsibility, more, just in the kingdom. Because when you're faithful in a few, he will put you ruler over much. So giving, sowing is a kingdom principle. I like how the Passion Translation says in 1 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7, it says, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your hearts, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Even though it's not a competition, okay? You can't say much if your neighbor is whooping you when it comes to giving. If you want to sow sparingly, go right ahead, but do it cheerfully. If you want to sow generously, go right ahead, but you can't get upset with them. And here's the thing, some people can't wait to give. Who gets excited for offering? I know, I used to watch videos of people that when they have the offering up plate and then they got music playing, people be coming up dancing and shouting and praising, doing flips and stuff. It's like, man, they love giving because they know what it's about. You're sowing into the, well, that's just for that pastor. That's to pay off his truck. No, DoorDash can actually pay for my truck, honestly. See, the thing is, they know they are going to get a return because of the principles of sowing and reaping, and what they get back has a greater ROI, return of investment. That's the greatest investment you're ever going to make, sowing into the kingdom. You can invest in stocks, and there's no guarantee that you will get a good return in every stock. But when you invest in the kingdom, that's a promise. That's a promise. Regardless of famine, regardless of the economy collapsing, people will say the economy collapsing, you know what? Won't ever collapse. It's the kingdom of God, those principles, sowing and reaping. It will never, ever collapse. Regardless of the economy, you continue to sow. Regardless of it. 2020, collapse, who continue to sow? There's some people who didn't give because they weren't here. We had like 7 people here going when all that COVID junk was going on, but people sent in, still gave. Other people, hey, I don't have to give. I'm not there anymore. I was getting ready to make a trip. No, we'll stop by your house. We know that our Father is a generous giver, and he holds no good thing back from his children. So turn to your neighbor and say, po no mo. If you are struggling, some people say, wait a minute. I say, you can go ahead and say, poor no more. You can go ahead and sanctify it up a little bit. But po no mo. It shouldn't even be an option. Unless you're hesitant to give because you don't understand the principles or what have you. You haven't renewed your mind and haven't allowed the word of God to transform you from the inside out. I understand that because I was there. But once I started, I've never stopped. And it's been over 20 some years. And the more I give, the more that is blessed back to me. The more doors God begins to open. Sometimes you need to shut. Sometimes I probably should have shut some doors. We were working 6 jobs at one time. She was working 3. I was working 3. Running a youth ministry. Doing that full time. Filling in here. Doing the worship. Doing the landscaping. Mowing the lawn out there. Everything that was pertained to it. Mowing once a week. 28 lawns in one day. And then basketball season, as busy as that schedule was, we never missed a beat. Kristen was working at the Mary Elizabeth home doing that, working part-time here doing the accounting, coaching volleyball. We're going on those road trips. We never missed a beat. Things got tight. We never missed a beat. One thing we decided to do, we weren't going to stop sowing. He multiplies the seed that you sow. And I think most of y'all already know that. The ones that are here aren't here. They don't know it. So when you see them, tell them, po no mo. They start complaining about their money, about their job, about stuff going on that's tight, and you see them buy a scratch-off ticket or a case of beer, and they sitting there, well, I ain't got no money, but you got money for that. Hey, here's the thing. There's a kingdom law here. You reap what you sow. As you're drinking that beer, you reap what you sow. As you're buying those $80 carton of cigarettes. No, I'm just saying, I don't know how much they cost. That vape, that costs money. I said, but here's the thing. He will multiply the seed that is sown right back to you, that you sow. He will multiply it right back to you so that you can continue to give. He's a good God. He's a good God. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for all you've done. And Lord, we just believe that this is one of the most giving churches ever, not because of what today is, but because of just in past history, Lord. They've sown into my life. They've sown into Pastor Wes's life over the years. They've sown into a lot of people's lives, Lord. One of the most generous churches ever that I've ever seen. And I thank you for that, Lord. If there's any in here that is struggling, that Father God, help them. Help them so that they're not pressured in any way. And if I pressured anyone, please forgive me. But I thank you, Lord, that you are such a good God. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Good morning. Every year I get a chance to come up here, and I just want to share a little testimony what Pastor is talking about. I don't know how many years ago it was, but this church, we had a guest speaker come in. He came in on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and a Monday night, and he preached on prosperity and giving. And this church body, maybe I'm not supposed to say it, but I'm going to, but this church body gave over $46,000 in those three offerings. So this is a good body of givers, and we want to thank you for that. The reason I'm up here today is Wednesday night, some of you were here, some of you weren't. I'm going to share with you what you missed out on. We had, you can kind of say it was kind of like guest speakers. Noah was here, Rebecca was here, Esther was here, and so was King David. And Noah, what this is about, that everybody has a story. And Noah's story was that one person can make a difference. And Rebecca's story was she was a giver. She thought of others first before she thought of herself. Esther, she had the boldness to go before the king without permission. And David, he faced the giant. Well, they all have a story. Now we have people here that have stories. We have Pastor Tim and his family. We have Pastor Brandon and his family, Grandma and Grandpa. They all have a story. When he came in from California, he didn't know he was going to be a pastor of a church here in town. Brandon, he moved up from Ulysses, and he came in and he met his girlfriend and started coming to church here. Now here he is, you know, as one of the directors and board members of the church. So they all have a story. So I'm asking you, what is your story out there? We all have a story, whether just sitting in a pew or chair or getting involved. So what I'd like to do today, we're going to honor the pastors and the upcoming ones like Isaiah and Trenton. They didn't know they were going to be doing this either a year or two ago, but here they are. They stepped up, so. This is what I'd like to do, Pastor Tim and Kristen, and what's your name? Mia. You guys, would you please stand up? Brandon, Shana, come on up. Isaiah, Carly, and Madison, Trent. Come on up. And this is why we're going to do something different. We're going to pray over them. But we got baskets sitting back there for them, because I know this church is a good giver. So we just want to bless these people for what they've done for this church body and in our lives. So all you people want to come up this time. We're going to come up and lay hands on them, and we're going to pray over them, okay?
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.